Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I'm so excited for so many reasons. Today's episode is your favorite. It's a love story episode from someone who is one of my favorites. It's a former client, current married person, and current friend, Holly Capps, who is now Holly Capps Casey, because y'all, I want to tell you, Holly just got married June 10th, and she's going to tell you the story of how she started with one of our love labs and is now Holly Capps Casey here, married, here to tell you her story. And make sure, if you haven't been following us, to know that we are doing a Dating Over 50 love lab on Sunday, July 16th, 1 to 4 p.m. They're small groups. They're amazing. They're so warm, supportive, full of information, and with an hour of Q&A at the end. So Holly will tell you about her experience at the Love Lab. But with no further ado, number one, get your spot in Dating Over 50. And number two, give Holly a very warm welcome. Holly, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you, Bella. It's so nice to be here.
Oh my gosh. Well, we've got to say, we're going from podcast to podcast with bookend stories, aren't we?
We are. We definitely are. Yeah. Cause I think when my story will come full circle, because I heard about you on a podcast. That's what brought me to your love lab to start out with. So, and here we are at the end of the story after I've gotten married on the podcast.
Oh my gosh. That's why I was like, oh, wouldn't be a good idea for you since you heard me on a podcast, did the love lab, came through our process, and now you're married, to bookend it with a podcast to tell your story. So Holly, tell us a little bit. You are, you know, kind of give us general demographics. You're 56. I thought you were like 46, but that's
you are so sweet. That's why we're friends.
That is why we're friends, you guys.
Yeah, so I'm 56. I live in Atlanta. I just retired at the end of last year, but had a really great career, a corporate career, mostly in sales. Fantastic career, frankly, in sales, leadership, long, very busy, very high powered career. You can say hi to my dog who's shaking around behind me. And lots of travel, lots of time spent making money and leading teams and doing all sorts of things for big companies. And so 2 years ago, I decided it was time to invest in myself.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, listen to that, guys. Elected retirement at 55. That's a pretty badass career. So not normal. So congratulations to you on your accomplishments. Yeah, you worked really hard to get to where you are. And yeah, you started dating when you were in the midst of your badass career. So maybe what we can do, just set the stage for us and tell us a little bit about you growing up. Like, give us a little bit of background, and then we're just going to let you tell your story.
Okay, great. So I grew up in a very, I would say, healthy, happy family. My mom and dad met in college and fell in love. As a matter of fact, their 64th wedding anniversary is coming up on July 11th. So set a great example for my sister and I. Yep, and great partners, and we were a really close family of four. And so, you know, as far as I could see, love happened like it did in the movies, right? You know, girl meets boy, they fall in love, they live happily ever after, pretty much magical, right? That's pretty much all I knew.
Right.
So as a result of that, I guess I never did date well. Somehow my sister learned how to date. She dated all through high school, had, you know, dated different guys and did like what you were supposed to do. But for some reason, I just never picked that up well. So my MO was more that I would pine for somebody until they finally asked me out. Then by the time we went out, I was completely over him, and my mother would have to talk me into actually going out out on the date. So I really didn't have any steady boyfriends, didn't really experience any of that in high school. So I did slightly better than that my freshman year in college. I went out with people maybe once or twice, but that was about it. My sophomore year, my friends had a friend of theirs from high school that had moved up and transferred to Texas A&M where I went to college. And so I met him, very attracted to him. We started dating, and 10 years later we got married. So he was my first long-term boyfriend and we got married. So I was very quickly attached to him. And that was it.
Oh, wow. So, that's amazing. I think I might not have remembered that important little detail that was, yeah. He was your first serious boyfriend that became your husband.
Right. With zero practice, I might add. So didn't go particularly well because, you know, didn't have a lot of knowledge about what I was getting into. So 10 years after we were married, we ended up getting divorced. He didn't have a particularly healthy family of origin and never really wanted to be married. I had sort of talked him into it. And by the 10 years into our marriage, he had pretty much given up. So that was my signal that it was, you know, okay. You know, again, my example was you got married, you stayed married. So I was intending to be married for life. But once he'd given up, it really was my trigger to say, okay, well, there's nothing, I can't hold it together all by myself. It's time to give up and go on. So wow. At that point, then I'm well into my 30s and I'm single and I still have zero functional dating experience, right? I still don't know any more than I knew at 16 years old about how to date and find an appropriate person to be with.
Let me ask you, Holly, so this, and your story is so many people's stories, right? It's so relatable. Mom and dad, great. They met in college. They got married. They make it work. It's not perfect. You see this wonderful role model and you're like, okay, I'm in college and here's my person. And now it's time to get out of the game of musical chairs and let's get married. And this is what people do. And they make it work now. And clearly that wasn't the case here, not because of anything that you did, right? Just we were never taught how to date. We were never taught how to pick people, right? And right. The assumption is, okay, you're going to be a good person for me because this is what happened to my parents. In retrospect, did you see, you mentioned the word narcissist. Did you see red flags in the beginning?
I didn't see them. Looking back, I can see a whole host of them. What I saw were there were things that he didn't have. Like again, his family wasn't stable. He was a good person, but didn't have good examples to follow in, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he didn't necessarily believe that marriage was for a lifetime because he didn't see that in what his mother's choices had been. So he didn't have stability and he didn't have a stable home life. Well, my parents, even as in-laws, could give him some of that. So I saw all these opportunities that I could give him things that he didn't have. And so it made me feel needed. And it also made me feel like I could help him in ways that, you know, we're great. Well, that's awesome, but you can't save somebody in areas that they don't necessarily need to be or want to be saved.
Right. And they don't even know that they need saving, right?
Right.
You got to have all of it, need, want, and awareness.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of lacking in all of them.
Exactly.
So you're together now. And so it was 10 years of marriage. No, 6 years of marriage.
Well, no, it was 10 years of dating, then 10 years of marriage, and then we got divorced.
Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah, so we actually haven't gotten to the narcissist yet. He comes later.
Oh, geez, Louise. Yeah. So here I am pressing fast forward as usual. So wow. Okay. So this is like more than half your life is with this person at this point. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And he's just like, guess what? We're done. And you're like, oh my God. Wow. And you're back at the drawing board.
Right. Yep. Ooh. So I did what, you know, I knew how to do, which was sort of for the next 20 years, I repeated the same pattern, which was I would start to date. I'd meet somebody that I was interested in, that I was attracted to, and then I'd stop seeing anybody else because I'm a one guy girl, right? And I always sort of saw that as a point of pride in that, you know what, I feel what I feel and I feel it strongly. So as soon as I feel that attachment, I'm all in, right? I'm going to go after that relationship and then I'm going to give it everything I've got. Well, then when that one didn't work, then I'd, you know, sit there and figure out, okay, well, why didn't that one work? And I'd figure out, you know, I always believe everything happens for a reason. So I'd figure out whatever lesson it was I was supposed to learn and try not to repeat that same mistake the next time, take a break, figure when I'd be ready to get back in the game, regroup, and then start that same cycle over again to learn the next lesson.
Wow. And so it's, and sometimes, to your point, and I have so much empathy for this because this is, again, the story of so many people. We end up going, well, last time this guy was so-and-so. And so next time I'm never doing that again. And sometimes we overcorrect for things that weren't the root cause in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And I mean, you can't guess all the mistakes that are out there to make. I mean, there's an infinite number of them. And I guess that's then the next chapter of the next story, which is that, you know, again, after one of my 1 year breaks of, you know, being sort of self-indulgent and just being like, I just want to be alone and do what I want to do. And then you get to that point where you're like, okay, no, I'm ready for love again. I'm going to look again. Then I met a guy who I really found he was fun. He was adventurous. He loved to do the same thing I love to do. And I really felt like he was the one, like I'd finally found the guy.
The one.
Yeah. He was great to me. He was charming. He was adventurous. He was handsome. Life was exciting. Life was fun. There were some things that it's like, you know, he wasn't necessarily great to everybody else in his life, but he was always great to me. And 6.5 years flew by. I mean, things were just going really, really well. We were getting to that point where he'd always said, once this happens and what this happens, then we'll talk about getting married. We were getting to that point. And then all of a sudden he just like changed overnight. I mean, it was abrupt. And I will never forget, we went to dinner one night and he spent 2.5 hours berating me over dinner. I mean, it was like a side of his personality I had never seen before. And over the next, I don't know, 12 hours, he dumped me. And I was absolutely shocked. And I mean shocked, because up until that point, everything went fantastic.
6.5 years.
6.5 years. Well, and what you come to realize is that it's never as black and white as you think it is, right? Where, you know, like right. I'm the complete victim and I'm completely shocked. Well, when you step back, and I had some therapy afterwards that helped me see, I had been dating a narcissist and I had never known a narcissist. I had never known what a narcissist was. And so when I looked back, there was a host of red flags, and I mean bright red flags, and I should have seen them, but I didn't. I ignored them because it's that old thing. When somebody's rude to a waiter, you better notice, because whatever they're doing to the other people, they're going to do to you. They just haven't done it yet. And so try as hard as this guy might, because he really is a good guy, he couldn't get away from all of those patterns that were inside of him. And so eventually it came around and it happened to me. So it was as much my fault as anybody else's, but it also helped me, sort of left me in that place where it said, all right, well, there's a narcissist is one psychological challenge I never knew anything about. How many other ones are there out there that I'm going to have to be an expert in so that I could spot those so I don't waste another 5 to 10 years of my life and then get surprised by somebody else's issues?
Right. You're like, wow, that was brutal. Are there 11 more of these things that I'm going to have to experience? No, thank you. Right. Oh my gosh. So what happened then? So now you're aware, you become aware of, wow, this was a full-blown narcissist. I missed the red flags. So now you're sitting there. What happens next? And how old were you at this point?
So then I was probably I was late 40s.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then I took a break. Maybe I was even early 50s. I was probably early 50s. So, I took another year break because it seems to me a year is about my time where it's like, whew, I got to take a breath, right? And sort of resettle myself. And then COVID happened. So we all took a break. And during COVID, that year time sort of passed, and I could feel myself being ready, like to open myself back up. And, you know, as I was sitting at my kitchen counter doing paint by numbers, listening to podcasts, one of the podcasts I had stumbled on was, This Is 50. And that was Nancy Holla and Sherry Salata. And it was two ladies in their 50s talking about all kinds of things that obviously felt very right to me, because I was in my early 50s too. And one of the things they were talking about was dating. And so I found it very interesting. And that's when they were talking about you and what you do. And that's when that piqued my interest. And I became aware of the Love Lab and of your coaching and of Smart Dating Academy.
Okay. Wow. So it's Nancy Holla, Sherry Salata. And so now you are on our list and you see an email come through for the Love Lab. Mm-hmm. Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, I did some research because I was listening to them on the podcast and you were helping Nancy. So I got some familiarity about what you did and how that all worked. And it sounded like fun, right? And I could hear how you interacted with her. And I thought, well, that sounds cool. And then I did some research about, you know, what else you did and you know, the Love Lab in particular. And I really did seem like a good way to get back into the online world, because I think everybody that's done the online side knows how daunting it is to start, right? Yeah. To sit down and write a profile is like sitting down to write your resume. It's just painful. I mean, there's nothing worse than talking about yourself for all the world to see, and especially your romantic self. And so I know looking it up and seeing that you helped with not only profile writing, but figuring out what your pictures should be, what they should look like, all of that kind of stuff, that really appealed to me, because none of those things were things I knew much about, and I knew I needed some help. So that was my first step, was I signed up for the Love Lab. I went through that. And the approach to writing the profile was probably my favorite thing, but I also walked out of the Love Lab with a whole list of things that really did inform how I was going to go into getting back online and kind of approaching the whole thing with a clean slate and feeling positive about it.
I love that. All right. So what happened? What happened after you did the Love Lab? So you're all fired up. You're like, I've got all this information. I've just been on this 3-hour session. You feel great. You're riding the high. Then what happens?
So I go out, I get a photographer to take my pictures. My profile looked great. I felt really good. I felt like it reflected my authentic personality, which I felt great about. And then I get my profile all up. Shortly thereafter, I had a family week at the beach. And so I'm sitting with my mom and my sister. Of course, my sister's also happily married. She's been married for like 30 years as well. And so they're fascinated. My mom's thrilled, right, that I'm going to do this. So they're fascinated to see all the guys on the site. So we're going through, and I let them each pick two guys for me to reach out to. And it took them forever to find two guys they felt like were appropriate. And they'd find one, then one of the guys that we're like, oh, this guy looks perfect. And we're looking through the pictures, and we zoom in on one of the pictures, and I'm like, looking at, there's a name tag. I'm like, this guy works on my team. We can't use this guy. So, I mean, it took forever to find two that they each felt like, okay, this is a good guy that you should go after. So the process, they earned a new appreciation for exactly how hard this is. And it also underscored for me that nobody in my circle really understood or was going through what I was trying to do. Because when you're in your 50s, the circle of people that are out trying to date is very small. Because most of my friends and my, you know, my mom, my sister, when they had dated, it was back in their 20s or, you know, a long time ago. And so it's all changed a lot since then. Mm-hmm. So part of what I was doing was I was trying to make sure that I was following what I'd learned, which was I needed to talk to all types of guys, not just the usual ones that I would think were attractive, not skipping steps. So first you do the chat on the site, and then that goes to a phone call. And then after you've had a phone call, which screens out many of the crazies, then you go to a video chat. And then after a video chat, then you go to in person. So I was doing all of that. And so my first in-person meetup was lunch with a guy who admittedly was not one that I would normally have been attracted to.
But was this one of the guys that your mom and your sister picked?
It was not. It was a different guy. Okay. So, but there were some things that I found interesting about him. And I thought, you know what? Hey, we're going to try it. It's different, right? So we meet up for lunch, and it is clear within the first 10 minutes, it is not a match. I mean, the fact that I already knew that he was genetically predisposed to have an excessive amount of earwax during a lunch date.
He told you this?
Yeah, it just wasn't going to work. So, but I was going to try and be upfront. Exactly. I was going to try and be upfront and honest, right? And when he was very direct. And so when he said, do you want to see me again? I was direct back and honestly explained that while I was enjoying our conversation, I just wasn't feeling a romantic connection. So thank you, but no. So I then spent the next 30 minutes trying to extricate myself from that table.
From earwax.
He was still arguing with me as to why I should see him again as I was shutting my car door to leave the restaurant. It was a nightmare. It was on my drive home that I realized I really didn't want to do this on my own, that I needed some reinforcements. And one of my strengths is knowing what I don't know. And I do not know how to date successfully. And I don't know how to enjoy dating. It scares the hell out of me. And so I really knew I wanted more help from Smart Dating Academy and from you than just the Love Lab.
Oh my gosh. So now I'm guessing you emailed me and said, hey, remember me? Like, I'd like to hop on board.
Yes, I think I did that afternoon, as a matter of fact.
Right. Like, okay, we're right. So after you were in the Love Lab, you're like, okay, this is a close little cocoon. They're fun. It'll be fun. I don't want to go at this alone. So smart. It's like hiring. It's like, you know, I can go to the gym and try to drop 20 pounds and I can run on the treadmill. And if I'm not getting the results I want, let's bring in someone who can get to know me and really assess, like a personal trainer would, who I am, who I need to be with, not just who I want to be with, and then help me to get there.
Exactly. Well, and I mentioned earlier that I had a long corporate career and I ended my career as a senior vice president. And along the way, I was lucky enough to have a company that invested a lot in me. And one of the things they did for me was I had an executive coach that worked with me several times. And that investment, I mean, that gave me exponential increases in my leadership and not only changed my career, but also my personal life, right? It really did expand who I was as a person. So wow. To me, the value of executive coaching is absolutely priceless. And so to me, this is executive coaching for your life, right? And this was the moment that I said to myself, you know what? I am worth investing in for myself because this is a part of my life. I don't know how to do this. And I'm either going to keep floundering along, doing whatever I do and learning about random psychological conditions as I go, or I'm going to go to an expert that can help actually make this fun and help me take a stab at doing this a different way and get something better out of it than I've been getting all the way along. And so that's what I did.
I love that. I remember our first 3-hour jumpstart session so well. And I was, you know, our goal is to wrap you in pink sparkly bubble wrap through the process. I'm like, while we're going to try to help you find love, we're also going to protect you from the 21 different maladies that you need to know out there, right? And it's we have lists of red flags, right? That you're going to see by phase of dating. And we took you through the whole marriage map process and helped you define who your high GHQ guy is. So after that 3-hour session, you're feeling pretty. How did you feel?
I felt great. I mean, you feel like you have your posse, right? That's going to help you look out, going to help look out for you. I also think the biggest thing for me, right, is I'm very goal oriented, right? And I love, you set up the goals and I'll knock them down, right? And generally, I can figure out a way to get there, but I can't ingest everything all at once, right? So it's that whole, like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You guys are the expert. And I think the thing I liked the most was the process was like, you know, the whole process, and you fed it to me as I needed to, right? So I didn't have to learn the 85 red flags. No. I learned them as we went, right? You would tell me a few ahead of time. And then like, I'd work with Lindsay every week, right? And she'd go into my inbox and look, and she'd be like, oh, you see how that says that in this little chat thing? You don't want to touch that. And here's why. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, I wouldn't. So the next time I saw that, I already knew that, right? But it was like, you learn as you go. And it really did help build up a lot of knowledge, as opposed to just trying to memorize a list and then trying to go out and you know, because you can read all kinds of books, you can read all kinds of articles, but it's really having the somebody sit side by side with you and help you see that. See that? Do you see how he answered that? Do you see how he didn't answer that? And like, after every date, the debrief, they would say, okay, so what did he say? How did he answer that? Did you get an answer to this? And then really saying, like, I can remember us talking about David and her saying, okay, he's actually doing what he says he's doing. And she's picking up on patterns that I'm not even thinking about, because I'm like, he's so cute, right? And she's like, yeah, but he's doing what he says he's going to do. And he, you know, he's never making you wonder. And she's pointing out things that it's like, oh yeah, he is. You're right. He's doing all the things I wanted him to do.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love that. And let's take a step back. So I remember being in your inbox with you. I know Lindsay was in your inbox with you, and you had a great response online. And we would go through person by person, and we would look at reading the profiles, reading the messages, who was good, who wasn't good, who we were going to A-list, who we were going to B-list, right? Mm-hmm. And this is how we, right. And this is how we keep people from getting overwhelmed, because when you get a big response, many are not appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe not. I don't think we had another earwax repetitor, so thank goodness.
I found that one on my own, by the way.
You're like, high five. That was all me. Thanks.
That was all me
for that. Yep. But you know, ultimately you had a lot of interest and you had a lot of dates, and then there was this interesting guy, David, and you had interesting people. Like, let's talk about that in the beginning and then get to David.
Yeah. So I will say, like, the way you worked me through the process that I found really helpful was you didn't let me get attached too soon. And like, I will say, one of my favorite artifacts, which I have right here with me, is my little notebook. And I had a page for every guy that I was communicating with, so I could remember salient points, so then I could go back and have the right conversation with the right people. But yeah, there were lots of guys to choose from, and having different dates and having you guys have helped me focus on, okay, so this is date one with David. I want you to go and have fun and just see what you see, right? You know, be the break fun you and see how he is. And then we'll come back. And for date two, we'll talk about what that looks like. And it really did help me get to know people at the right pace and not put too much into a date and try and get too far too soon. And also not, it made sure I stayed on pace and kept comparing and kept kept the options open, I guess, longer than I would have normally, for sure.
Right. It's like having that funnel, right?
Yes. Yeah. Which ironically, it is funny because I had a career in sales, right? And in sales, you always have a funnel, right? How many times have I coached salespeople on having a funnel? And yet for dating, I never had a funnel. You have to have a funnel. It's got to be wide at the entrance and it gets narrow down at the close, but you got to have a funnel.
Yeah, 100%. So you learn how to navigate. And again, you know, we all think, oh, I know what a narcissist is. I've read a book, and I know, you know, what an avoidant is. I've read Attached. And here, like Holly's saying, you guys, it's being in the arena at that moment where you don't know, okay, is this something or is this not? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're so used to red flags and your skin is so thick because you've been with so many narcissists that you don't even feel the red flags. You might know, oh, X is a red flag, but you don't perceive that as a red flag in the moment. And that's why we're there going, yeah, no, see this? This is not a good thing. And so we let certain people in and we let certain people out. And then there was a certain man named David who came into your inbox. Tell us about that. And he was cute.
He was very cute. I remember, it was funny because I had flipped through, and that was a day that Lindsay was going through my inbox with me. And I had flipped through and I'd seen him and I was like, oh, he's cute. And so I had already thought, well, I'm going to respond to him, but she gets on there and she's like, oh, he looks nice. You should respond to him. I was like, oh, good. I was going to anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I don't know. He was easy to talk to and we hit it off right away and we had a whole lot in common. And, from the first date, it was very easy conversation and I found him very interesting. And one of my favorite things about working with y'all, and especially in regards to him, was that as I learned more about him and I would come back and I would report back because I always had an assignment. Every meeting I left, I had an assignment. And so, and I follow directions, right?
If you're going to sure do, expert,
then by God, do what they tell you to do. And so every time I would come back and I would have done my homework. And so if that meant I had to go ask three uncomfortable questions, I went and asked them because I was supposed to find the answers. So I would go and I would ask the questions and come back. And it always helped me learn more and keep progressing. And he is a wonderful man. He is, I was looking back at some of the notes that I had taken over the months that all this happened. And, again, you helped me realize in the interactions I had with him, like recognizing the feelings that I had, like I was having a day where I was in a bad mood, but I went and I saw him and he made me feel like he was a safe haven. Right. And so it's recognizing how I felt with when I was with him and, I mean, it felt safe and it felt right. And it has felt safe and it has felt right the whole time, and solid. And just one of the other things that I wrote down that you told me was that both of us should feel like we are the lucky ones. Mm-hmm. And to this day, both of us feel like we are the lucky one.
Oh, I love that. That gave me goosebumps. I love that so much. And you're right. You had to have some direct conversations. And I know as we, you know, our process is very much have a dating funnel, then date people well, narrow it down to, you know, like Holly said, in a sales funnel, like you narrow it down to your top three, your top two, your top one, then you can become exclusive, right? Then you had that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Are we exclusive?
Right. I was to the point where I like really didn't want to go out with anyone else. had my weekly check-in and said, okay, so what else do I have to do so I don't have to go out with anyone else besides David? And the question was, well, what don't you know about him that you need to know? And in thinking through everything, it's like, I don't know. And it came down to, well, I don't know. We've talked about, I'm pretty sure he wants to be married again.
Right.
And then it was like, well, do you know he wants to be married again? I was like, maybe not. So that night at dinner, I was like, so where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah. And you did it.
So that night we had the conversation. And by the end of that evening, we were exclusive.
I love that. Okay. So now you have a boyfriend, right? And yeah. the coaching continues, you know,
yeah.
Continue with the same cadence to make sure that this dude is good for you. So phase one is funnel, mm-hmm. dating multiple people, getting down to one person, ideally. Then you have the conversation. By the end of dinner, you and David were exclusive, but that's not where it ends.
Right. Right. And that, again, I think that was exceptionally helpful because the old me, and actually, frankly, the current me, it was like, yeah, I have a boyfriend. Everything's great. Now I'm just fine. Right. And it was helpful to have not my friends, not my family saying, you know, is he okay? Is he okay? But you guys checking on me and saying, okay, so have you talked about finances? Have you talked about where you live? What about your aging parents? What's going to happen when your parents are older? Did you talk about, you know, is he showing up? How much time are you spending together? Is that good for you? Is it good for him? Have you talked about whether that's good for him? So all of those conversations happened at sort of a steady pace because we were checking in to say, you know, where are you and what do you know and what do you not know? So, that was extremely helpful and kept, I think, both of us on the right track. And at some point I did tell him I was doing all this stuff. Like, so I want to ask you some questions.
You're like, I have these dating coaches.
Right. And I'm the world's worst liar and poker player. So at some point it was just easier to fess up. Hey, here's the deal.
Here's the deal. I love that. And so I know by the time your coaching was coming to a close, we knew this was headed in 100% the right direction, that the next step was engagement.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, we knew it was headed in the right direction. It was the right relationship for sure. I will say our engagement was a complete surprise to me. I thought we would end up getting engaged at some point in the future. I was not in any big hurry. I knew I was contemplating getting retired, choosing to retire. And I didn't think he would do it anytime around then. I thought it would probably be sometime this year. And then he surprised me when we were on a hiking trip last August. And we hiked out to an observation point at Zion National Park. And I turned around and he had a ring out and proposed. So, I mean, it's, which is just quintessential to him. And I think my favorite part of that story, number one, he's surprised me, which I just love. And he got very emotional when he asked me to marry him, which I think is so sweet. And I said, yes, of course. And then we were up there all by ourselves and we sat down to, you know, have some water and, you know, just sort of soak in the moment. And I said, so did anybody know you were doing this today? And I said, well, I called your parents last Wednesday. And that's when I got emotional. And that is David to a T. He is the most thoughtful, wonderful man I have ever met. And every tribulation and every painful dating experience I ever went through was worth it to find him. And I would highly encourage everybody to adopt the psychotically optimistic outlook because it's worth it.
And even when you think it can't happen for you, it can, right? Love is out there for me. It's a when, it's not an if. And think about what you're doing. And if you're not getting the results you want, you got to change something.
Yeah.
And something big.
Not compromise, right? And to not compromise. I'm definitely one of those people, I'd rather be by myself than with the wrong person. But when you find the right person, you will definitely know it.
Right. And it's an easy relationship.
For sure.
Right. Like, can you imagine? It's like having a best friend that you like to sleep with.
Yeah. And I, you know, a couple of my friends have asked me, like, when was the moment you knew you were in love? And I can't tell you a moment because it just grew. Which again, I think was part of what you guys had described to me, in that it's not a chemistry, butterflies, lightning feeling. It's a, you know, when it's truly right, it's going to grow and it's going to be really solid.
Right. And it's not that moment of electricity where, oh my God, that's all in the movies, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, this just feels like, wow, it's super easy and it grows and it's, you know, it's like you uncork a great bottle of wine and it just gets better as it ages. Right. And so you guys got engaged. I remember getting your email with the photos with your engagement ring and you had this super awesome green nail polish on.
It's funny, I have green nails today too.
You have green nails today. And you were so awesome to send Lindsay and me a photo of you guys hiking. And we'll have a whole page for Holly on our site so you guys can watch her journey and see her engagement pictures. And then you guys, what happened June 10th? Like, this was a pretty expedited path you were on. Like, waste no time.
Yeah. So we got married. We picked June 10th because his daughter is in college in Madrid. So, and lives part-time in Italy. So we wanted to make sure she got a chance to come home. His son is a student at Purdue. So we wanted to make sure both of them could come home. So that's why we picked June, because it was the best time. And so we got to have all four of our parents were here and all of our families were here. And it was a fantastic celebration of love. And it was just amazing. It was everything we had hoped for and oh so much more.
And you guys, There's a photo of Holly, as if you haven't seen it yet, in her wedding dress, and it is so darn cute. And you looked amazing.
Thank you. We were very happy. We really are.
Oh, and he's as handsome as they get too. So I guess by the time this episode drops, it'll be like your 1 month wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And your parents' 64th anniversary.
I know.
And I remember, as part of working with us, when you did 12 months, you did this 360 feedback process, and you had your parents email us, your sister, and your whole village just wanted you to find the lid to your pot. And I'm so happy to know that a couple of years later, you have truly found the perfectly fitting lid to your cute little pot.
Truly. And I couldn't express my appreciation enough for everything that you did for me. Thank you so much. And it even was fun too.
It was fun, man. I remember being in your inbox with you, and we just giggled the whole time at some of these guys' profiles, right? Yep. And the things that they say. And, you know, and if you're listening to this, just know that at some point that last first date is going to happen to you, just like it happened to Holly.
It will. It definitely will. And the in-between is fun too, even though, I mean, you have some of those moments where you got to do hard things because you have to have the conversation to either, you know, end something, or you have a direct conversation that doesn't turn out like you want it to be. But you know what? It's just a moment and you move on, and the good stuff, it lies beyond. So the good thing is you got somebody on your, in your corner helping you get through it all. And they do make it fun, and it all works out.
Oh, I'm so glad. So you would tell people that are on the fence, do the love lab.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a low stakes way to do it. And it definitely gives you a taste of how do you get started? And there's so much information about the process, and follow the process because it works. It really, really does.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Holly, it's people like you that make Lindsay, me, Eileen, Catherine, our whole team think we have the best jobs in the world, because we get to work with the best people just like you. So I'm so honored to have had a part in your journey. And thank you so much for telling your story and inspiring so many people. Guys, you heard this. I mean, Holly's just like so many of you, right? Trials and tribulations. You go through lots and lots of dates, lots of relationships, but don't lose hope. Do the thing. You never know what that one change is that you can make that's going to be the change that changes everything.
That's right.
Well, any last parting words of advice you want to give to our dear listener?
I would just say, you are worth the work. You're worth the effort. That great guy or girl is out there waiting for you. So do it.
Oh, I love that. Well, Holly Caps Casey, we love you. And we're going to have you back at your 1 year anniversary just to fill us in on how year one of marriage is going in your 50s.
Sounds great, Bella. Thank you. Love you too.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.